back door man. Well, the men don't know, but the little girls, they understand. When everybody is trying to sleep, I'm somewhere, I'm making my midnight sleep. And every morning,
welcome to Low Standards and Pours. It's Sunday, July 5th, about 8:06 Eastern Standard Time. We are here giving you another podcast that you will enjoy. Episode number 14, Where the Hell is Bill?
Whether you like it or not.
Is it El Carpe?
How you doing, brother?
All right. What's going on, my brother?
Crazy day. Hey, yeah. Before we even get started, let me ask you something. Was something going on like yesterday, like why people would be shooting off fireworks?
It was Easter, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Holy crap. I stepped out of my house. People were shooting stuff off around 8 o'clock, even before it got dark. Stuff was going up in the air. But
did you have one part of your hair?
Between 9:30 and 11, it seemed like everybody was shooting up everything. The street was smoky. You could taste, yeah. Oh, you could taste the gunpowder.
Yeah,
you could just taste it in the air. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun. You know, my kid and I were out, spinning sparklers and just kind of watching what everybody else is doing.
Yeah,
just kind of chilling out and enjoying it. But it was crazy. Oh, are you the same?
I think you and Fuckball's got something common with sparklers. She wanted to run around the complex with sparklers. I'm like, I'm all about the 4-inch mortar. You know, I'm big and strong.
I'll go either way. I don't care.
You guys got any mortars over there? Those big guys?
Oh my lord, there were tons of them.
Yeah,
people across the street.
I didn't have any around here. Yeah, the ass wipes around my place started about 3 o'clock. I'm like, really?
Like, what?
Yeah, they're shooting them off at like 3 p.m. I'm like, what a waste.
Yeah, firecrackers maybe, or some of those spinners on the ground might be cool.
Yeah.
But nothing, you don't shoot mortars off in the afternoon. That's a waste. Now,
what's your favorite firework, Bill?
Do I have one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it a snake or a smoke bomb or
we used to do
mortars to throw up in the air?
Mind you, it's in high school, and this was not globally conscious of us, but we used to take bottle rockets and shoot them into the lake.
So, really?
Yeah, and they would shoot, and they would go like not into over the lake, into the water, and they would explode underwater.
Yeah,
it was really kind of cool.
You gotta be careful with the fish, though. DNR might get after you.
Well, right, and again, we were young and stupid, and the DNR wasn't anything anybody was after. Yeah, I'm with you. But, yeah, those were always a lot of fun, shooting bottle rockets off. But then there's I don't even know what they're called. They're like spinning Susans or something like that. And it looks like a firecracker, but the wick is in the middle.
And they spin around.
Yeah, and they shoot different colors out, and then they shoot up in the air.
Yeah, we used to light those and throw them up in the air. Then they would shoot across. They would shoot across like the front yard of the neighbors.
Yeah, because that's like that. why make it less dangerous, right?
Right, exactly. They land over their garbage or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you got Fuckballs with you tonight?
Yeah, Fuckballs is here. She's playing on her phone. Probably, I don't even know what the fuck she plays. Who cares?
She's not paying any attention to us, I don't have a laugh track.
No, nothing at all. Laugh right. Track from Kim? No, nothing.
All right.
She's not even listening.
No problem.
You're supposed to give him a laugh track. I do? You know, you're typical, like your laugh. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I caught it, barely.
It was faint, but whatever.
I just know that I'm not going to get any of that through the rest of the show, so that's fine,
no.
As long as I know what's going on.
She plays, I don't know, what do you play?
Candy Crush or something.
Zombies. What is it? Plants versus Zombies.
Mm. That's a great game. Yeah, it's a great game. My son's got that for one of the 17 game situation things he has. Hey, the kid saved up his money and bought all the game consoles he wants. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, why not? It'll come out of your pocket, right?
Well, right. And, you know, the kid's getting a 4.0, so
what? Yeah, have at it.
What am I going to do? He wants to color his hair. Color your hair. You want to do pierce your ear? I don't care. You just keep being smart and, you know, making good decisions overall. Piercing your ear is going to be an issue down the road, and you'll figure it out. But you need to make some mistakes on your own. Your daddy can't tell you what to do.
Since he's getting a 4.0, you buying him a new Mustang?
Yeah. I haven't even bought me a new Mustang.
I'm just kidding.
I haven't even bought me a new car in years.
You will. You know what? You're an empty nester, and you're going to go out and buy that flashy, bright, affordable. No.
I don't need a new car. I'm not going to have the midlife crisis. I mean, I thought I was going to be dead by 44 because I had my midlife crisis at 22.
Yeah, no, and me too.
I've already survived past that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we're pushing through. Things are looking good for us. I don't know. But what do we got? What do we got in store for tonight, Bill? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I saw on the blurb that you put, you know, something about the idea of us actually making sense out of my goofy little topic.
Yeah.
But I want to throw some stuff out to you. You have a computer in front of you, and if you felt like it, you could use the Google machine and figure some stuff out. But I just went on before the show, and I thought, you know, we've been dealing with crazy monkeys for quite a while in at least the last 3.5 years in these highest office of the land. And I thought, you know, this struck me as I was driving home today, was how do you recognize a good leader? And it struck me that essentially crisis is what really what's the word when you're smelting the metal and really hammering it out? A horrible crisis will solidify the steel of a good leader. Because a good leader will snap to it and go, all right, you know, this shit needs to be handled right away. And that stuff over there needs to be put off to the side. And a good leader is going to prioritize and be able to figure out how to handle a crisis, how to how to minimize stress for the people he's leading. You know, he's going to have flexibility, adaptability. It's going to be some compassion. How to handle people who are, you know, really going through whatever that crisis is. How do you show some compassion for those people and the others around them to say, all right, well, you know, this is what we're going to have to do. This is not going to be pretty. This is not going to be fun. But here's how we can move forward through this situation. And then, you know, honesty, of course, is quite important. Developing others. You know, you can't do everything. A good leader knows they can't do everything, so they delegate. But they delegate to people they know can get it done correctly.
Sure.
Based on a vision that's already been set forward.
You know? I agree 100%.
And then I'm going to summarize with this, and then I'm going to ask you if you can come up with some other things or think of some other stuff that you think might add to this list of what makes a good leader. But I think personally that a really good leader is self-aware. They understand their strengths and weaknesses, and where they're strong, they take control and handle it. And where they know that they're weak, they sit back and go, I need somebody else to help me with this situation. And
they
surround themselves with strong people in the parts that they're weak in. And that only makes sense. That's leadership from the top, you know, political person in, I hesitate to call him president, but regardless, from a president to a manager in an office. A good leader as a manager in an office has all those things as well. All right, well, you know, we've got 38,000 things we got to get done this week. And, you know, because of something happened and we got to take care of this, let's prioritize this. Let's work together, you know, and pull the team together. You know, if I can bring down this whole big country crazy crisis that we've been dealing with. But if you bring it down to, you know, what would my boss do? Is my boss a good leader? Would my boss pull us together and say, all right, we've got this crazy crisis of we need 8,000 widgets built in 24 hours, and we can only do, you know, 6,000 in 24 hours. We need to figure out how to do the extra 2,000 because of this, that, and the other. Well, that's a crisis for that situation. So then it goes to, how does that manager handle it? Hey, let's bring these guys together. You're the one that's doing you five people are the one that are actually making the widgets. What can we do to make your job easier so we can get this done? Is there something that we can, you know, and it's that person who pulls people together and goes, you know, all right, look, I don't understand the logistics of how the widget gets built, but I know how to make sure that we get them done correctly. So you and you and you get together and figure out how we can make this quicker or whatever the situation is.
Right. Makes sense. Right.
Have I rambled on long enough?
No, I know what you're saying. You know, for me, it's, I've been giving this a little bit of thought, and if it kind of supports what you're saying. I think there needs to be a checks and balance system with all presidents. I don't necessarily agree that just because you're president, you can do anything you want. Obviously, we have.
You can't. There are checks and balances.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's getting kind of interesting because I think we're, it's a great subject, and there's so much to talk about with this. You know, if we're going to talk about Trump, you know, if Trump makes it, he's going to make it 4 years, right? Will he make it another 4 years? Who knows? But, you know, you might have to help me out. I've got so much to say. It's like, in other words, I look
pick
at
something. Pick one thing.
I look at the presidency a certain way. Let me say this. I look at the presidency a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you become president of the United States, that you are not given an open book to do whatever you want. We all know that. There are checks and balances.
Those of us who pay attention and have read the Constitution and or founding documents understand that the president doesn't get carte blanche to be Lord of the
Exactly. Man. Exactly. Yeah. But I think number one, today you have to be a great communicator. I think that right now is the most important thing. And I say that because I think we've gone from great communicators to probably the worst communicator in a short period of time. I think
the tweeter in chief has really stuck it to himself.
Yeah. I think Bush did an okay job at communicating at least to the American people
there were a couple of things that I was going to talk about, and it will stick to the communicator part. Okay. Because if you look at like Lincoln and Roosevelt, they both, Lincoln, obviously Civil War, Roosevelt, Great Depression, World War II. Those guys were communicating, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. This is what's happening. We need to continue doing this. And all right, we need to change some things and we're going to do this. And they were consistently explaining to the American people what's going on. Bush one had Kuwait, you know, and he flubbed a couple of times, but most of the time we knew why we were there. But again, we were only there for, you know, 3.5 weeks and then it was over.
Yep.
But then Bush two with 9/11, he was, in as much as he had a difficulty with the English language, he at least was out there and explained, these are the reasons why, and this is what we're thinking, you know. And this is, again, this is my perception of living through these events, is not Lincoln, obviously, or Roosevelt, but sure. I've lived through both of the Gulf Wars, and, you know, it's like, all right, I understand why you're doing this, and you've explained it to me. I don't necessarily buy into it completely, but I get what you're getting at. I at least understand where you're coming from, and I understand why you're making this decision. I have yet to get that from our sitting person, president guy. I have yet to understand why he thinks the way he thinks or why he's making the decisions he's making. I've turned him off completely because I get so frustrated. I'm like, just tell me what the hell is going on.
Right.
Tell me what's
right.
going on and how. What do you actually think you're going to do to fix it? And the monkey in chief just doesn't know what it's all about him. and his ego. Yeah. And that goes to not being self-aware and pulling in the right people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let me
communicate correctly. Because you started, that was the communication discussion.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So I think we'll all agree that he's probably one of the worst communicators and representatives of the United States that we've had probably ever. But I think overall his intentions...
Well, I don't know, Grover Cleveland maybe, but go on.
Yeah. you're a little more history intelligent than I am. But what I'm saying is that, I lost my train of thought here, but I honestly, at least since I've been alive, since 1970, I have found that I think he's probably the worst communicator as a president and representative as a president that we've had probably ever. But I think his intentions with the economy are there. And I think that is one of the most important things that he has concentrated on, and I think him as a president knew that if he puts everybody to work, or at least drives down
the facade of everyone going to work. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, everybody's making money and everybody can afford things, which is ultimately what we all want to do. But
right,
as far as the style and manner, and some of the things that he says, and how he represents our country is
it's embarrassing.
It is.
As a citizen, it's embarrassing. But I want to go back to you because you brought something up that I thought is very important, is the job numbers. And again, I have not studied this particular portion of it, but apparently the job numbers are coming, bouncing right back, and people are getting back to work, and that's great, and I'm happy for that. But the challenge is Monkey Lips in the Oval Orifice is trying to take credit for getting everybody back, getting all these new jobs. That's how I heard it today on the news was, he was taking credit for getting these new jobs. And they're not new jobs. It's we've just been off work for 3 months, and now people are getting back to work.
But I know,
but
you know what?
It's not new jobs. It's the job. That job that I had that I couldn't go to, I get to go to now again. And I don't have to draw unemployment, which is awesome because I get to feel better about myself because I'm producing and I'm doing the thing that I was trained to do or learned to do and love to do or whatever it is. But I'm not sitting on my ass doing nothing, collecting a check because because we're all afraid of stuff. It's I'm back to work doing that thing. It's not a new goddamn job.
Sure, sure. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You never – I kind of lost my thought. So I get into this discussion with my mom all the time, and she absolutely hates Trump, and she's all for Biden. She's a Democrat. I grew up Democrat. I believe in a lot of Democratic processes, but I also – I fall right in the middle as I grow older. I know that some of the most important things in my life has been job stability, and that's why I like the fact that Trump's concentrated on that. Right. Let me think about this for a second.
You think about it while I say this. What you're saying is your mom's Democrat. You were kind of raised Democrat, and you buy into some of the stuff, this, that, and the other. But you also look at the other side, and that trains back to what we were talking about, I don't know how many weeks ago or last, could have been 12 hours ago for all I know, which is people in general are complex. I can't call myself a Democrat because I'm not. But I buy into some of their stuff, and I understand some of the Republican stuff. I understand a lot of libertarian stuff. I don't know what I would call myself politically because I'm kind of a chameleon. It depends on what the situation is at the time. And the challenge is, and this is stretching away from our topic of leadership, and it might be hearkening back to something else, but the challenge is, people are complex. The situations that we're going through together as a country are complex. There's no simple one way to call somebody you're a Democrat. You can't just say you're a bleeding heart liberal because you might have these things that you care about that are typical liberal causes, but yet then you go back and have a traditional marriage or whatever. I don't know, but people are complex, and pigeonholing people is not good.
No, I know. You know, let's say this. Let's say COVID never happened, and our unemployment numbers stayed at historical lows, and Trump won his second term. And those numbers for unemployment, and let's say nothing else happened, hypothetically, and everybody stayed working and was able to afford the things they need, and it was good times. But let's say he's the worst spokesman for the United States. So what makes him a bad president? In other words, is the economy just that cyclical that he had an 8-year run of great times because it is cyclical, or was it something that he inspired, meaning, let's say, quote unquote, draining the swamp and getting rid of some of this old horseshit that's been around for 20, 30 years that are kind of dictating what goes on behind the scenes? Maybe he was, you know, able to accomplish some of that, and maybe he's actually accountable for some of that. And, you know, you got to put a feather in his cap for keeping the economy going for 8 years and letting people, you know, save some money and enjoy some good times. But like my mom says, she's like, he's just the worst effing spokesman. He's a jerk. He comes across as a racist. He's egotistical. He's a narcissist. I get all that. You know, part of that is, especially being narcissistic, I think,
that's a leadership issue.
Yeah, it's a leadership thing.
A lot of leaders are that way. But yeah, I'm with you.
When you divvy up, you take away, if you look at his negatives, I never understood his tweeting. I never, in the beginning, like, why on earth is he doing this? But you know what?
Because he wants everything to be about him.
Well, hold on. But I agree with you. But I also think it's a direct route to passing by any fake news. In other words, that's coming right from him. It's not going from him to the media to us. It's going from him to anybody that wants to follow his tweets. So there's no way to
put his news. He says it's not actual news. It's his.
No, I know. I know. I get that.
His made up little dream world.
I get that. But don't you agree with me, though, that probably, and this is where I was kind of struggling before. I think as Americans, probably most of us get our news, 90% of it, from the TV. Well, I don't think TV is the most accurate thing, source to get our news. And I'm going back to, I think some of these reporters and some of these news outlets need to be accountable for exactly what they say. Because, you know, ultimately, that's what people believe. You believe what you hear on TV. You know,
we're not going to go in that direction because that's a whole other discussion on, you know, who's right in that situation.
You know where I'm going with. You know why.
The accountability and the
As a president, no matter what kind of president you are, I think you can only come across that you're doing so well because of the different news sources that lend to be Democratic or be Republican. Some will support, some won't. Some will be against you, some will be for you. And if you're listening to both, what do you believe? You know, so.
Yeah, that's not even the situation, though. I see where you're headed with it, but I want to take this a different direction.
I want to come back to
the whole idea of crisis.
If we didn't listen to the news, if we didn't watch TV, where would your news source? What would be your news sources? I bet you. I bet
probably
nothing against you, but I bet you don't pick up the Wall Street
website or.
You know why? I don't. You know.
No, I don't. I haven't bought a newspaper in forever.
Yeah, but where else would you get your news from? You take all the sensation away from TV, and it's so easy to get. You just got to turn it on. It's right there. It's there to inform you. It's going to tell you everything that Trump said or didn't say or whatever or screwed up. But if you're not listening to TV, where else do you get your news?
Well,
you know, it's like And my point is this: is
all
that
right. You get it?
You can
get the same video from all this stuff. It does. The TV doesn't matter. You don't think Trump what? You faded out.
Yeah. I'm just saying that.
You don't think he what? I think.
I think no matter what president is in office, they're more of a. I don't know.
Figurehead.
Go ahead and talk.
Figurehead.
I'm gonna start.
Yeah, I'm gonna because it. I want to dovetail with what you were talking about is, you know, you're back to the leadership issue, and if he didn't tweet or he did tweet and all this other stuff, or you know, if he kept the economy going and he actually got, you know, two terms, you know, how great of a president would people think he is? The challenge isn't, and the topic for today wasn't necessarily Trump specifically, but leadership.
Sure.
And leadership in crisis is where you find out who your leaders are. Now,
well,
if the COVID crisis didn't happen, we still would have had the Black Lives Matter type crisis, because that shit's been bubbling for years and years and years. And, you know, I could go into my whole history of, you know, the 200 to 250 year lexicon that's built into our brains because of what we've learned and know and been taught. And regardless, that is just part of how people think, and it shouldn't be. Or, you know, we need to have two more generations of people die off. I think my kids who are in their 20s might be the first, like almost 80% generation that says, yeah, you're just people. We're all people.
Right.
Be people with us. You know, let's be people together. I don't care if you're gay, white, black, Hispanic,
sure,
trans, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're people. We're all people. And it's this upcoming generation and then the one after this. And all this shit will be gone. And I'm sad to say that because I would love to see it in my lifetime. I would love to see people not be freaked out. But there's too many old folks, old farts, who think Jim Crow laws were right. And that's a whole side story. But regardless, the Black Lives Matter stuff still would have come up in his presidency, and he would have handled it incorrectly because he's handling it incorrectly. And it is a leader in crisis is where you find out really what your leader's all about.
Sure.
And that's where I was going with this whole topic today is he's had as much crisis crap as most any other president. You know, there's some that have skated by, you know, Gerald Ford, basically he got to skate by and just kind of, he had 4 years of kind of, I'm going to go play golf and let the world take care of itself. And it did, somehow. And, you know, shit happened and there was recession and this, that, and the other, but didn't really make much difference to him because he didn't really do much about it.
Right.
He was, and, you know, Jimmy Carter tried to poke his fingers into different stuff and he screwed up a couple things and then he backed off and everything was fine. And then he decided to wear sweaters and say, turn down your thermostat and save energy. Well, you know something? That's not exactly, you know, whatever. Each president had their own crisis of sorts. It just so happens that Trump got hit with a couple of crises all at once and he's handled it like a buffoon.
Do you think it was intentional? Do you think COVID was intentional?
No.
Okay. I'm just curious.
No, I don't.
Let me ask you this. Let's get off Trump for a second. Let's talk about Duggan and Whitmer. Do you think they've done a good job? I think Whitmer's done an excellent job. I don't think she could have done it any better, any differently. I think she had to do what she had to do.
Well, let's analyze her from what little I've seen of her. And what I've paid attention to, because basically it's like, all right, I got to wear my goddamn mask. I just go to work and come home, and I go to work and come home.
And, right.
You know, I see 3 to 4 people throughout the day. If I stop at the store that I have to get something, I put the damn mask on. You know, I got sanitizer in the car for my hands. You know, I do the things I'm supposed to do because I know that's how a good human treats other humans. Because if I catch it, I want to make sure I kill it before I run into somebody else and maybe give it to them because I don't want to be that guy.
But right, right.
If you look at Whitmer, based on the crisis stuff we were just talking about, well, How are her communication skills? Is she explaining to us, yeah, this isn't going to be fun, this isn't going to be pleasant, but we're still going to have to do this, and here's why? I think so. Those are the types of things I've heard from her.
She's put her steps out there, you know, yeah. The steps that we can take and what she's willing to do.
She seems to be aware of the fact that she doesn't know everything. You know, I watched, and this is seriously late April, early May, where I watched 2 hours of Trump on YouTube giving his speech from the day before of, you know, the COVID update. And when I was done with it, I wanted to hurl my computer across the street because you didn't say anything, and then you bitched about stuff, and then you didn't say anything, and then you bitched about stuff, and then too many tests. What?
Yeah.
And there was nothing that I could chew on. And then the next day, YouTube had the, you know, if you like listen to this, you should listen, whatever the hell. The next thing was Governor Whitmer. And it was from her the day before, right after or before his thing. And she was like, all right, look, this is where we're at now. This is what we know so far. This, that, and the other. And she gave a 20-minute talk explaining what was going on. But then somebody asked a question. She said, questions now. And it was a very specific COVID-specific question. And she goes, I don't know that off the top of my head, but here I have Dr. So-and-so from whatever. And this black lady comes up and speaks eloquently and answers the question perfectly. And I'm like, all right, so wait a minute. You just turn and say, here's the person that knows the stuff. And then I'm thinking, all right, well, this chickie is actually paying attention to what's going on. And that turned me right there. At that point, I was like, all right, Whitmer's all right. She's doing her shit correctly because, she grabbed a doctor person who knows what she's doing.
Right.
And explained it beautifully. And when I was done with it, I was like, okay, I get it. I understand why I'm supposed to wear a mask. I know why this is going on. And I'm not a genius or anything. I didn't know everything, but it was like, all right, I get it. This is going to suck for a while. Okay, fine. We'll just deal with it. And hopefully less people die. Right?
Right, right.
And that's how I feel about her because based on leadership, she's picked the right people to surround herself with. She's compassionate. She seems to be, have some vision on how to get through this with the steps and all that. She's following the CDC crap. She seems to be flexible and honest about it. And she's telling us, she's communicating with us, this is what's going on and this is why this sucks. And this is why it's supposed to happen. I don't know. I'm not rah, rah, rah for her. And, you know, if somebody better comes to go against her for governorship next time, I would consider either one of them.
But I'm sorry with her. So let's say she opens up the economy, opens up Michigan, and all of a sudden our rates of COVID shoot up and mm-hmm. everybody starts dying or going back in the hospital.
Right.
Then she's accountable. And then on her conscience, she's accountable for those deaths. But let's say she closes down the economy and goes back to phase three or two, and business go out, you know, business end up going bankrupt, not a business. Well, you know, I mean, what's the worst of two evils, you know?
But see, here's the thing. Based on what I've heard her say so far, she's going to err on the side of caution, which is, you know what, sure. We have to keep this stuff close.
I think she has to, though.
But she's also explained it to us. And, you know, she's asking for us to get on her team. You know, let's work together. You know, she's doing the leadership skill thing that we were talking about, the communication, the bringing people together, and again, I'm not trying to rah-rah for her, but in comparison between her and the monkey in charge, she is brilliant.
Right, right.
Now, mind you, that's a low bar to beat because, you know, he's not. But you know, and people can hate me for saying it, but I just think she's got she's been doing the right things as a leader. And right. you don't always have to like the leader, but you have to understand what they're doing. And she's explained it to me to where I'm like, yeah, I get it. Whereas I've not gotten that from the Trumpster. And if he would sit down and explain and actually be compassionate, if he could find a compassionate bone in his body and do it, then I would be on board for him because you're doing the leadership stuff. I'm not looking for a Republican. I'm not looking for a Democrat. I'm not looking for a Libertarian. I don't want a communist or a socialist or a jackass. I want a leader who's going to take care of things so that I can do the work stuff and keep everybody in my house fed, living indoors and wearing clothes.
I got you. I got you.
You know,
how do you feel about Duggan? Any comments?
Don't know.
Are you happy with what's going on in Detroit? You're not much of a Detroit guy, but I am.
I'm extremely clueless. And I feel terrible about it because Detroit is really starting to come back.
Yeah.
It's having some really good things happen. And then this COVID shit happens. And it's like a crap in the face. And on top of it, then, you know, the Black Lives Matter problems come up. And there's just, I can only imagine there's a huge amount of stress down there. And
right.
I don't know how to process that right now. I'm still trying to process what's going on with my little circle of my little shit. And I feel terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm okay saying I don't know. So tell me what's going on with Doug.
I haven't seen the numbers yet. I've only been down there. Right. But I've probably been down there maybe a little bit more than you have. And we've been down there to go see concerts and whatnot. But
right.
I can also compare it to 20 years ago when basically they could just walled it all off and shut the lights off and said, take care of yourself. I think we're at a spot in Detroit where there's a lot of optimism, and between all the developments going down there and the millennials, they love Detroit. You know, there's a lot of arts down there. There's a lot of music down there.
There's a lot of good stuff down there. I haven't had the opportunity to be part of it so much. You know, and so go on. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No,
the millennials dig it.
I think maybe the last time you were down there is when your car got hooked and towed away.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I've had some very bad experiences, but it wasn't the city of Detroit, or you know, it wasn't their fault. It was particular specific businesses with shady practices. So, you know, I mean, what am I going to do? I guess I can't blame the whole city for that. But then, you know, if somebody's going to turn their head and not say anything about it, then, yeah, maybe I will say something. But
Were you legally parked or you illegally parked?
I was not involved in that at all. My daughter parked the car. But,
was she legally parked or did she legally park?
Well, the thing is she was essentially illegally parked. But
okay.
The signage that is required by law was not properly posted in order to make sure that she knew she was illegally parked.
Right.
At the McDonald's on Woodward.
Right.
Never go to that McDonald's on Woodward. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Tell your
sons and daughters to stop eating at corporate places and support the mom and pop shops.
Right.
We're going to have a mom and pop podcast pretty soon.
And
that's where we're going to start. Tell everybody that. Stop with the corporate places. We need to bring back the mom and pop shops.
Well, and then I can get my buddy from the bakery.
Yes.
We'll get him on, and he can tell us stuff. I mean, he's been doing great stuff. And, you know, once this COVID thing hit – now, mind you, this is a reminder not only to you but to the four listeners who aren't related to us.
Right.
Who might not know. But a friend of mine from grade school, first grade – we grew up together, had a great time, good kids, rode bikes, did all the fun stuff. And he went off to college, culinary arts, super genius when it comes to food. And he essentially came back and moved back into Michigan and opened his own bakery the same year I had no job.
Yeah, I remember.
And he asked me, he's like, you know, hey, I'm looking to do this. And he and I talked about it a couple times on the phone. And I'm like, well, I would do this and I would do this. And, you know, it sounds like you got all the stuff together. I'm not the guy necessarily to give you advice on all this stuff. And God, I'd love to invest, but I don't have any money. But what I do have is time. Now, mind you, he and I worked together in a number of different restaurants together. We've worked together a lot. He knows that I'm going to show up, I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to take care of things. And if I see something squirrely, I'm going to bring it up. And
right.
He's like, yeah, I can pay you minimum wage while you're off from work. And you come in and you teach my front girls how to handle my money, and you make sure I don't get robbed or any of this stuff, or nobody's cheating on me or whatever. And I'm like, cool, that I can do. I needed a job. He needed help. It worked out. But you know, he does these things now. Oh, so COVID hits, and he's got to close down because that's what he has to do, and so he does. But I stopped by there like the day of or 2 days later and to pick up something, you know. I'm like, hey, what do you got? He's like, well, I got a whole bunch of frozen soups that I've been, you know, I can't sell now because I can't do it. So here, take this stuff to your mom. All right, no problem. And then he goes, yeah, I'm taking anything you don't take, I'm going to take to the hospital down the street.
Yeah.
And give it to the doctor so that they have – for while they're working a zillion hours a week. And I'm like, dude, that's amazing. He's like, yeah, you know, eventually, you know, they'll see my little name on there and you know, maybe they'll stop by and realize how close I am.
Right.
But you know, it's self-interest, but it's, again, it's, yeah, I want to do something.
You want to be a little
part of it. Not right now. I'm going to wait for him.
All right. I got you.
He's just amazing, and I'm proud to call him my buddy. There's so many businesses out there like that who have done that exact thing. Hey, we're screwed totally. We've got all this inventory I can't do anything with. Who's out there still busting their hump? Oh, yeah. First responders. Let's take care of them.
Yeah.
And then they take care of the first responders, and then – the first responders see their names and go, okay, well, yeah, all right, these guys are all right, because they're trying, you know, and it's a little bit of a self-interest, but on more so it's, I want to take care of what's going on. I want to be part of it. And that goes back to being part of a clan and being part of something bigger than yourself. I want to be part of it. I want to help.
I agree.
I have this ability, so I get to help. So I'm going to do it. Yeah, maybe down the road something good will come to me, but I don't care. I want to do the good thing first. And there's a ton of those businesses in Detroit to do it with. I only know one.
You believe in karma, Bill?
Nope.
You don't believe in karma?
Nope. I believe in helping other people.
But if you help other people, don't you think it'll come back to you?
It's up to those other people. So the question I have for you, what is karma? What is karma?
I'm a big believer. If I do good for other people, it'll come back and people do good for me.
Well, but that's just that's being a good citizen. That's being a good human. That's being a good, well-known monkey. that's just being good.
No,
define karma for me.
I was just curious about how you were going to answer, and you kind of answered the way I thought you were. But
yeah, because I'm a realist, and I'm an asshole. I don't believe in like I'm a Virgo. What do they call that stuff? Astrology. That stuff. I don't buy any of that.
Yeah,
bullshit on a stick. Because I understand, you know, I understand how brains work. I'm not a genius. I've read enough, just enough to know that I don't know a whole lot, but I know enough to know that that's bullshit on a stick.
I got you.
That's just me being a pain in the ass.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, it's good fun for stuff.
What song you got going in your head right now?
Well, you know, I want to beat up the what you call it guy, the ice cream man, because that son of a bitch.
The ice cream man? You're talking about
the ice cream man, the one that drives around the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
The ice cream man. No, I wish I had ice cream man song stuck in my head. Van Halen, that would be great. No,
it wasn't
what
Van
I had
Halen,
stuck in
it would be Roth solo.
David Lee Halen.
Solo. It wasn't Van Halen.
Whatever.
I'm the ice cream man.
No, that was on Diver Down.
Was it really?
Ice cream man was on Diver Down, so that's Van Halen. So Kiss My Ass.
Oh shit.
He did solo right after Diver Down. So there. Don't you start music with me, sister. Yeah. Don't start with me, sister. I'm all over it. No, but the
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, well, I'm correct.
Are you sure it's on Diver Down?
Ice Cream Man, Diver Down.
All right, I'll look it up. I don't
look it up right now. I'll wait.
I'm going to right now. Diver Down, Van Halen.
It should be song number 7, if I remember correctly.
Get out of here.
I'm just telling you what I think. It popped into my head.
That's why I love you, Bill. You are so trivial.
I know. Popped into my head. It's on this. It's on side B.
You gentlemen's got Hammer High Cathedral, Secrets, Intruder, Pretty Women, Dancing Little, or Guitar's Bet. You are wrong.
What? It's not number 7?
No, it's not even on the album. So we go to David Lee Roth.
Van Halen 2, then.
No.
It's a Van Halen. It's not David Lee Roth.
Hold on, David Lee Roth.
Van Halen 2. I'm going to make you look it up.
I can't type any faster.
No, what you need to do is type in Ice Cream Man.
Hold on,
David Lee Roth. And pull that up.
All right, hold on, David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth.
Oh, you're looking it up wrong.
Hey, hold on, Ice Cream.
Hey, Zeldin joined in. That's awesome. That could have been 45 minutes ago. I haven't looked at my phone. Welcome. Anybody?
David Lee Roth. Artist album. Okay. Artist David Lee Roth album, Diamond Dave. I got one on you, Bill.
No, but it's Ice Cream Man is actually on a Van Halen album.
No, it's not.
Well,
no,
he's allowed to sing some of the Van Halen songs.
Yeah, it's his solo work. But anyways,
Jesus Christ. The song that's in my head is The Entertainer because of the stupid ice cream person driving around in their damn ice cream truck, and nobody's buying ice cream because nobody wants to go near the COVID-infested ice cream truck. But they have this ice cream man thing going on, or the entertainer, which is, you know, from The Sting from the 70s, the movie. And great movie, the precursor to Ocean's 11 or something like that. You know, just a great kind of fun movie like that where they catch the bad guys by doing a sting basically on them, but it's not the good guys doing a sting, it's the bad guys doing a sting, and everybody walks away with a crap load of money. It's awesome. But Bill, what I have is the ultimate ice
cream, what's your favorite ice cream? What ice cream would you order from the ice cream man?
None. I don't go to the ice cream man. I hate them.
I know, but if you had to, is it a Bomb Pop or is it a Cream Skull, or what would you get?
Well, I used to get Bomb Pops when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because those were easy.
All right.
You know, now I'm an old fart, and I like creamy, milky, chocolatey stuff. So, you know, he doesn't carry that stuff.
Stuff that's hard to digest. It gives you gas.
Right, exactly. There's my laugh track. Thank you very little.
All right.
What I was going with was this. What song's playing in your head right now, Eric?
You know, Fuckballs is here. We are out. Sitting on the patio having a treat, and I've just got the Cult. She Sells Sanctuary kind of buzzing in the back.
Oh, yeah,
Sanctuary. Yeah. I've seen these guys three or four times. Last time I saw them, my freaking ears rang for like 2 days. Mm-hmm. They were so loud, but I wasn't too impressed with their show. I think Ian Ashbery's struggling to keep it alive, and his voice has not gotten better. His vocal ability hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. But right. I like him as a front man. I like his songs. But yeah, it's kind of the Cult. She Sells Sanctuary's kind of been buzzing around a little bit.
So the ultimate earworm distribution system. You know, I have two ways to get rid of the song that's stuck in your head that won't go away, right?
And yeah, no, I've tried that. It's so,
the first one is you hum the girl from Ipanema in your head. So that'll get rid of it for sure, but you do run the risk of that becoming the next earworm.
As I'm unbuttoning my shirt.
Right, but you run the risk of that song becoming the next earworm.
Right.
So that's kind of dangerous. It works if you can block out the potential of that being the next one. But the absolute best way ever is Christopher Walken.
I know. You said that, I know.
If you sing Christopher Walken, if you sing the song as if you thought Christopher Walken would sing the song.
He can't sing, though.
Why it works is because his rhythms and how he speaks and needs more cowbell.
Right.
The way he talks breaks up the rhythm of the song, and therefore that song is no longer in your head. Yeah, exactly. If anybody doesn't understand who Christopher Walken is, look up Saturday Night Live, Christopher Walken, more cowbell. It is one of the most watched ever, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah, and
you
if
also
you
need to know who. Yeah, you also need to know who. What song was it? It's not "Burn Out the Day." No. Bachman Turner Overdrive.
What's that one? Oh, no.
What song were they trying to do?
No, that was. That was.
Exactly.
Hold on.
All you remember is it needs more cowbell. Yeah, I can hear the song in my head, but I can't.
Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but which song?
I'm holding. God, you had to be. Hold on, my fingers.
I know.
Blue Oyster.
The Google machine saves the day.
I wish this was like.
You know, there were days when we used to like get this stuff right off the top of our
head. Don't fear the Reaper.
That's right. Don't fear the Reaper.
Don't fear the Reaper.
And it always needed more cowbell.
Yeah.
But if you listen to that, then you'll see who Christopher Walken is with the big glasses.
I love
him. He needed more cowbell, and the way he spoke about his rhythm and what's the word I'm looking for? The music pentameter. The way he talks just breaks up the song. So if you can sing that song, you can sing any song in your head.
Right.
With him, it'll break it right up. But whatever you do, do not sing a song where Ethel Merman is doing her version of Head Like a Hole.
What?
Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Ethel Merman never did that song.
No,
I did. My buddy who owned the bakery, when we were in high school, we worked at a couple of different places together. And actually, after college even. But it would be late at night and we're exhausted. And he's like, Bill, what are you thinking? And I would just go, I'm thinking Ethel Merman is doing an impression of Katharine Hepburn singing Head Like a Hole.
Oh, my God.
And I started singing it, and it's hilarious. And he starts cracking up. I start cracking up. Then I do Losing My Religion, same premise. And, you know, we're cracking up in the kitchen, cleaning up, and just there's so many good stories out there of so many good friends having good fun together. I know there's people out there that have had some of the similar, and we need some fun stories out there.
Yeah.
We need people to share some fun stories. And
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as our show grows, what I want to do is I want us to kind of focus 20 minutes on, you know, Mr. Calling In, give me 5 minutes of that fun ass thing that you and your buddy did. That was just hilarious. And let us share your fun. You know, I think that would be a great segment to our show.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk. I think we're on the right track, and we can.
Yeah, you know, and as we grow, what did Nonsense say?
Nonsense says about don't fear the reaper. The whispering reaper creeps me out. It does have a little bit of a.
Nature,
I guess.
It's got something.
A little bit. That old 70s kind of creepy. A lot of that old stuff.
Blue Oyster Cult, man.
You know?
It was either Blue Oyster Cult or Bachman Turner Overdrive was the first concert I ever saw.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one it is, and I'll never know because I actually ended up getting rid of my first 10 or 12 concert tickets. They ended up getting thrown away.
I wish I saved all my concert tickets.
Oh, and you can look back and go, oh, that was fun. Oh, I remember that. Oh, yeah. And you can make those memories too.
I'm going to start writing this stuff down, all my concerts, and I'm going to go back and review them and try to figure out who I was with and when it happened and what we did when we were there, just in case.
Well, that could be a fun show.
Yeah,
just in case. Something like that.
Fun show.
But, you know, don't make me do the same thing because I don't want to do any homework.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I had a hard enough time coming up with my stupid leadership topic.
I know. Hey, you want to light it up for a few minutes?
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Well, let's lighten up for like 10 minutes. We'll talk about. I don't know if we want to. Should we classify them as millennials? I know some clients of mine that turned good friends that have a son that's 18 years old and has no interest, zero interest in ever driving, ever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
He's like, I'll take Uber. I'll take Lyft. I'm like, are you freaking fucking crazy? Like, you got to have the car, because if you don't have the car, you can't pick up chicks. If you're not picking up chicks, you certainly aren't getting laid, right? So how can you stay and just rely on Uber?
Okay, you can't. Eric.
Make it tail on.
But here's the thing. We're 50-ish plus.
Don't even go down that route, Bill. I don't want to hear it.
There's a whole different thought process going on. There's a whole different way of people getting together.
Bill.
Here's the thing. Is you and I, when we were growing up, when we were 16, it was give me the car, give me the license. I want my freedom. I want my freedom. Well, the kids these days can get up and just go whenever they want to go because there is the Uber. There is this. They can work. And the technology helps them get it done.
That's my thought
process. Tell me what the hell are you thinking?
Kim and I were just talking about this not too long ago, and I was like 14, and I used to take the car out. I'd back the car out of the garage and wash it for my mom. And I'm like, Mom, I got to go drive around the sub a little bit and get all the water off. And she's like, okay, be careful. And I go drive around the sub for a little while. And I'd be driving by friends. They're like, dude, you're 14. How are you driving your mom's Fiero? I'd be like driving around or whatever.
Oh, she had a Fiero? That's awesome.
So we had two of them, but it's another story. So that's kind of the way it started. And then when I was 15, I started driver's ed 3 days after I turned 15. So after 2 weeks, I had my permit for pretty much my entire year of being 15 years old. And I was actually telling Kim this also, is that my mom would send me down to pick up my father in Detroit at Poletown at 11:30 at night to go, because we only had one car. And so my mom's like, I'm awfully tired. You want to go pick up your father? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll go pick up my father. So I'd drive down to Detroit to Poletown, down my Mexican village, at 11:30 at night and pick up my dad by myself at 15. Who does that? That's like people – parents go to jail for that kind of shit. Hey, and that was no big deal. You know, when I turned 16, I was like, boom, I bought my Firebird. I had my black-on-black Firebird. And off I went. But that was my key to freedom. I could do anything I want. I worked. I went to school, and I was never home. And I tried to pick up chicks, and that was like the birth of my youth, you know?
Right. Yeah,
that's when I put turntable and put the Sony stereo in my car with the power booster and the 6x9 Pioneers. Dude, I cruised. I was going to Detroit.
When I put the needle on the record and the drum beat goes like this.
But I was going down to Detroit when I was 16, and they're like, dude, are you fucking crazy?
Right.
Like, no, it's from Detroit. Let's go. You know? You should go drink down at Mexican Village underage at like 18. Weird. I mean, but you can't do that these days. You can't do any of that. And all these kids are
that
like, I don't have a license. Are you crazy?
What, that was 1984,
85? 86 for me when I got my license. But, you know, the other thing we used to do, too, is, you know, growing up in Plymouth, and you guys have industrial parks over by where you're at, but a big thing for us was going, would be like, you know, we'd all kind of like call each other on the regular phone and say, okay, we're going to this industrial park, meet behind here, and we had like three or four different buildings that we would park behind late at night, like nine, you know, in the fall time, it got dark. We'd all park there and be quiet, but we'd get a case of beer. It'd be like three or four of us and drink some beer. And we'd all put the beer back in the fucking case when we were done, throw it in the dumpster and leave. Never made a mess, never got in trouble. We'd turn the radio on, just kind of hang out and shoot the shit and smoke cigarettes all night. That's all we did. Stay out of trouble, you know? But I don't see that happening these days.
Well, I am.
I don't
driver's training.
You have kids. I don't.
Yeah, but no. So none of mine got their licenses at 16. My oldest got hers at like 17 or 18. I think she was 18. My other one got her license at 18. My son is still, he's 17 now. He hasn't even taken the first set of whatever you got to take. And I'm like, I've taken him to the parking lot at the school near us, and I had him drive around. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to handle a vehicle. He just has no desire to do it. I'm like, this is crazy. I drove to driver's training.
One of the weeks
that we had like 2 or 3 weeks of driver's training, and one of the weeks my parents were gone on vacation, and I was the only one home. So I hopped in a car and I drove to driver's training, parked the car in the back of the lot, walked up.
Right.
Okay. You know, I don't have a permit or nothing. I'm just driving to driver's training.
Right.
It wasn't far. It was just down the street. It's not like I was going to get pulled over by Grosse Pointe cops because those guys are terrible.
You know? Right, right, right. Oh, it's funny. You know, I got a quick story for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm like four, and this is when I was, there's no lie here. I'm 14 years old. My dad comes to me and he says, I'm one man down on a foursome for a fundraiser out in Jackson. I need you to play. I'm talking about golf.
Right.
So I'm like, all right. He goes, it's all my buddies. You know, it's everybody, you know, it's a bunch of guys he hung out with and stuff. So we drove to Jackson, and back then my dad was a drinker. He quit when I was young, but he was a drinker. And we played golf, and we went back to the clubhouse and had our dinner and stuff. And my dad kind of continued to kind of get loaded that night. And I'm like, there's no way I'm making it home. There's no way. We're going to die. My dad's loaded. He's probably had like 45 beers. I don't even know. And I'm like, I'm told this is my date. This is where my life ends. Right. So we get in the car, we drive like a mile or two, and he kind of like pulls over into the first rest stop. And he's like, you know, the way home, 55 between the lines, be safe. He gets out of the car. He's like, you're driving. 14 years old. I had to drive back from Jackson because my dad was too loaded, and he fell asleep in the car. Like, 2 minutes after we started getting on the expressway, he wasn't even concerned about how I was driving. 55 all the way home. I pull up. By the time I got home, I was like palming it like into the driveway, and the garage opens. My mom's like, "You've got to be kidding me!" My dad slumped over. I'm like palming I'm like cruising around my dad's Blazer, you know. But you can't do that these days. You can't.
No.
That's crazy. People go to jail for that kind of stuff.
But back then it was different. And I remember my uncle had a 3-speed Dodge Dart.
Yeah.
And he had this place in Canada that we would go to, backwoods, Nowheresville. And
yeah,
he took me out on the side roads and taught me how to drive a stick shift at 12 years old.
Three on the tree?
Huh?
Three on the floor or three on the tree?
Three on the floor.
Three on the floor.
Three on the floor. And it was, you got to learn how to drive a clutch eventually.
And yeah.
I was 12 years old and I learned how to drive. And, you know, after that, then I learned how to drive basically a stick shift using motorcycles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know,
How to do the clutch.
Yeah. Our podcast, we got to talk about your travels on your motorcycle throughout the United States. I'm sure it's kind of interesting.
Well, you know, it's not as crazy as it sounds. I only drove up to Florida.
Stuff if you want.
And then, but I mean, that was still weird. What's that?
No, you can make up a bunch of stuff if you want. Yeah, do whatever. It could be an interesting podcast.
But that wouldn't be true or fun.
Yeah.
All
right. Whatever. We'll stretch that then.
I'm good at making shit up, but I'm not going to do that for this story. But yeah, I mean, it's just weird how the kids are not enthused about getting their driver's license.
So what is it? You have kids, I know. You have kids, I know. What is it?
I think it has something to do with everything. It's just so local these days. You know, everybody is so incredibly local. So you don't have to go far. You know, the high school is, they can walk down the street, get to the high school. When they were kids going to the grade school, it was a walk down the other street. Everything was, you know, so enclosed in a square mile. There was no big roads to cross to get to where they needed to go.
But how do you pick up chicks? Don't these kids go to parties anymore?
No.
Like I went to every freaking party there was. I was called a party coordinator for like 20 years. People would call me, go, where's the party at? I'm like, hold on 1 second. I'll let you know. And it was 20 minutes.
Right. The kids these days are talking to each other on their phones and Skyping and doing all that stuff. And it's all digital.
But don't people go out and like have parties and take advantage of girls when they're drunk and, you know?
No, that's the whole Me Too movement thing. The kids aren't into that. The kids are into being real. And being part of a society that actually pays attention to stuff. So, I don't get it. And I'm okay with it because I don't have to pay the higher insurance because I have a boy.
Yeah.
Who have a license yet? I don't have to worry about that yet, but it's coming. But by the time he gets the license, he's going to be 18 or 19 years old. You know. And it's just like, all right, well, whatever. And again, with my kids, it's you guys are getting great grades and you're doing all the stuff you're supposed to do and you're being good kids. If you don't want to do this, I'm not going to push you. You know, and I don't know if that's just me being a easy peasy kind of dad or whatever, but, you know, if they don't want to do it, I'm not going to force them.
Like, don't they have friends that are girls that, like, hey, let's go meet a coffee shop and go hang out or go to a movie or something or fiddly with me?
Yeah. They figure out how to do it. You know, one or two of them has a license.
Yeah.
And they figure out who's driving, who's getting where. Or sometimes, you know, my wife will drop them off and you're getting home with somebody or however. Do that.
You should drop them off in a park?
No, drop them off at the movie theater or whatever.
So,
and then they go off and pretend that they're going to the movies and they do whatever they want.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me because, like I said, with my kids, I'm fairly confident they're making good decisions on things.
I'm
not worried about them.
Yeah. No, but, I don't. I'm not talking about your kids. I'm just talking about kids in general.
Right. Because, you know, with my kids, it's always the right thing.
Well, you know, when I was going to high school, we went to a lot of parties after football games and hockey games. And it was always like, you know, if you pulled up a nice car, you could have made an impression, you know? Right. You had a stereo, you had some Cure on or something, and, you know, whatever. Like, whatever, and you did what you did. But
right.
that seems to be all gone. I don't get it. I couldn't wait to have a car. It's like, I don't know.
I couldn't either. That was the thing. It was like, give me my freedom right now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. All
like, for instance, concerts. It's like, say somebody's 17, 18 years old, they want to go to a concert. Like, you can have your mom drive you to a fucking concert. You know? Drove myself.
Sometimes that's how it happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it at all. Crazy millennials.
It doesn't make sense to me, but that's sometimes how it happens.
No, I know. I know.
I just walked into the house and there are cookies being made at my house.
I love cookies.
Yeah.
This is my favorite. Chocolate chip.
And that's what these are. These are chocolate chip. I'm so excited.
Yeah. All right. Well,
smells delicious in here. I'm not ready to go yet.
All right. Well, you got something else you want to talk about?
I had something, but I have to pour a drink first.
Yeah.
So hold on a second.
All right.
What was the other thing we were going to talk about today?
We were kind of touching on video, you know, but that's kind of, that could be a conversation itself.
Right. Yeah. And we beat up the Jackass in Chief enough today.
Yeah. So, any news on who's Biden's running mate?
No, I have not heard. And I'm actually really curious at this point.
I don't know. I mean, we're not that far away. Like, what is he waiting for?
He's got to be picking somebody pretty soon. And I don't understand what he's waiting for.
Condoleezza Rice?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. She was Bush's face.
Michelle Obama? Whitmer?
Whitmer's out. Apparently there's a list, and Whitmer's not on it any longer. Supposedly the list got shorter. That was a whiskey hiccup, by the way. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. Yeah, see, you got them too. This is the old guy whiskey hiccups. What are you drinking tonight?
Clear beer. Tonight? Clear beer.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
What are you mixing it with?
I'm on a roll. This buy stuff, whatever. It's kind of a fruity.
What flavor buy?
It's lemonade. Lemonade. Cool, refreshing drink.
And that.
The old Eddie Murphy kind of thing. Uh-oh. Did I lose you? Uh-oh. El Carpe.
What?
Oh, I thought I lost you.
No, I'm here.
Oh, I heard something like go bloop. I thought maybe.
Oh, it's something with my. I was holding something. Oh, whatever. I don't know. Are you still there?
So, yeah. What do you think you want to do for next the next podcast? What are we looking at? We need to get back into some local music. I want to give a couple shout outs right now. Yeah. My friend Jeff does a great podcast. If anybody's interested in bourbons. Fishing, hunting, traveling. He does a very good, informative type podcast, very structured. If you're into that kind of stuff and you want to hear about his travels, listen to Rack House Ramblings. My good friend Jeff does that.
Tell us, what does Jeff do for a living?
Jeff is a frontman for, or frontliner for a fire department here in Warren. And he sees everything happen. So let's give a little shout out to him. And also my buddy Neil does one. It's Beats, Brews, and Points of Views. It's kind of a hip hop R&B type podcast. They do an excellent job. They record it literally a block away from where I'm at right now. Okay. In an old
church.
How
do we find them? Are they on Podbean or YouTube? What are they on?
Yeah, Spotify, iTunes. They're also on Facebook, but they're actually looking, I think, to diversify a little bit too about what they speak about. So Neil over at what did I say? Beats, Brews, and Points of View, and my buddy Jeff over at Rack House Ramblings. Two great
podcasts.
Not as good as ours, but
and not as good as ours, and never any as good as Nonsense.
Exactly, Nonsense is our mentor. Shout out to Nonsense.
Nonsense Password is the silliest, craziest, off the wallest, great discussion. It's one gentleman in the middle of the country who basically lets it all hang out and spits out his thoughts, unfiltered, unfettered, unbelievable. Just good.
What does the word fettered mean, Bill?
Well, you know, fettered, I would imagine, has something to do with in control.
Is that a Bill word?
If you're unfettered, you're out of control. You want to be entertained. You listen to some Nonsense Password. You go to Rack House Ramblings for some other good stuff. And the other guys who sound like Low Standards and Poors, who are not quite as low standards as we are.
No.
We'll promote anybody. Because we're shameless and we don't care.
Exactly.
I would love to make 38 cents a month doing what we do.
Hey. Then pay for our podcast.
Quite frankly, the way I look at it, Eric, this is always a conversation between me and you. And if there's anybody who ever listens to us, well, thanks for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks for listening. Please download us. Hear us. Do something. We need some more followers out there.
Yeah. I don't even know what this Podbean, Beaner, what's the thing that they give us?
I don't know.
Beaner points or something. I don't even know any of this stuff.
Go.
Whatever it is, if you feel like giving us meaner points, whatever that means, feel free to do whatever you want to do. We're happy to accept it, and we appreciate it. And if you let us know who you are, throw some comments into whatever, and we'll be happy to reply. We're just crazy like that.
Yeah, Bill and I need some new shoes, so if we can,
baby needs a new pair of shoes.
Yeah, if we can take those over to Shoe Warehouse or something and get some new shoes, muchly appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you want to wrap this up there, Al Carpe?
That's been Eric.
That is Bill.
We're Low Standards and Poors. We're happy you stopped by to listen to us.
Yeah, please listen to us again.
Yeah, this is the part where you hang up on me.
Yeah. So everybody, do what you got to do. I don't know. I guess that's about it, right? So let's wrap this up. And I will see you. When's our next show, Bill? You want to do one Wednesday night? Get back on schedule here Wednesday, and then Wednesday, Sunday?
We got to do Friday, Sunday. I got mom stuff to take care of this week. My brother's on vacation, so I'm going to be visiting with mom. I'm going to be a busy boy for the next 4 or 5 days.
So you say what day is good for you next?
We'll do Friday. We'll do our Friday-Sunday thing again. Friday nights. Upstairs at Eric's, 9 p.m. ish, sometimes early.
Hey, where the hell is Bill?
And then we'll do, you tell him what happens on Sunday, Eric.
Where the hell is Bill? I don't know what does happen on Sundays.
I'm in control.
You are in control.
Never. Never sometimes. Happens.
Sometimes.
Never. Right. Never.
We're gonna have some interesting topics for you. We're gonna get back into some music too, some local music. So, Bill and I were.
I really do want to talk about some local tunes. And what we need to do is, you and I need to figure out together, and figure out when we can sit down and actually interview some of these guys. You know, how are they handling the COVID? Not being able to perform, not being able to get out to a show, and and have people show up and all that. And, you know, what are they? What are these guys doing? Are they sitting at home making albums? What's going on with these guys?
Yeah,
there'll be good. There's a lot of good talent in Michigan.
Yeah, when we reach out to Hand Grenades and see if we can maybe get them on and work with them and see if we can find out what they're doing now that they can't tour as much and go from there.
Well, maybe we'll end up doing a Saturday night show of upstairs at Eric's with interviews with local bands. And we'll see who we can get to show up. I don't know if that won't happen this week. I don't have time to start making that happen, but we'll work on it. We'll get it going. We'll do some talking with people. This show is only going to get better.
Yeah.
The less Eric lets me talk, the better it gets.
I tried to interview a couple times. Maybe I can do I'll talk to Neil too. Maybe we can team up with Neil and we'll do a little
combined show
podcast with Neil and see what he's got to say too.
So. Yeah, we got to do a whiskey show.
All right, well, good. All right, well, let's wrap this up. Again,
all right, that's Bill. Been Eric.
That's Bill. That's Bill.
That's Eric. That's Eric.
All right, Bill. I will talk to you next couple days. And Feliz Navidad.
Ciao.
Ciao, man.
Rock on, baby.
All right, see you later, brother.
Yeah.